12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Welcome to The Candlestick Crimes, a Swords of the Serpentine actual play brought to you by 12-Sided Stories. This is a story-heavy, rules-light tale full of action, adventure, and ribaldry. So sit back and enjoy this swashbuckling tale.
Hello, and welcome to The Candlestick Crimes, episode number 5. This is our Sword in the Serpentine actual play, and I have some wonderful players with us today. Let us start with B.
Oh, hello. Hello, everybody. My name is B Zelda. My pronouns are they, them, and I am joining y'all playing the wildly successful thief Mirko, also using they, them.
Hey, all. I am Kay Purcell, she, they pronouns, and I am playing Vimond, the Inquisitor, they, them.
Hello, everyone. I'm Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I'm playing our resident fighter, Tessa Rambo, also they, she.
Hi, my name is Michelle Otis. Pronouns are she, her, and I am playing Reginald Chandelier, he, him.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right, this is a good place for a recap. In our last game, all of you in pairs made your way into Lord Sage's manor to find out what was going on in the vault, whether or not he had sold off all of his worldly possessions for candles. Like I said, it was in pairs. Tessa and Reginald came in and started to speak with Lord Sage about candles, and he got all dressed up and was very excited to have this conversation. At some point, Tessa overheard the staff talking about possibly stealing more of the candles and things out of the vault. And they went over and talked with them, kind of offered a bit of a deal, not before shoving one of them into a water closet. Why this distraction is going on, both Vimond and Mirko went down into the vault. Vimond had this very long argument with their mother, made sure that they can get all the way down to the vault without doing any of the traps that had been set. And it was an interesting thing for Mirko to listen to. Once you got into the vault, you found that most of the things there, artifacts, treasures, the wedding dress, were all missing. Many of the paintings were gone as well. And so you took note of what was there. I believe Mirko took one candle and you headed back out. You all met each other outside and you had a conversation on which was the best way to deal with it. And you kind of landed on helping out the servants to steal the rest of the stuff in the vault and then flipping the script, turning the servants in because they're not part of the Thieves Guild, and trying to get the most money out of everybody, because there might be honor amongst Thieves Guild members, but not thieves in general, overarching. That's kind of where we stopped it. So we'll pick it up there. You were all talking about what the best thing to do was. You were going to go back the next night. You had also spread a rumor saying that the Ul house was going to be hit. And so that's still kind of out there. I mean, nothing happened that night, but, you know, they're probably going to still be on high alert. It would make sense that they might watch out for a couple of nights that they don't want to get hit. So the question becomes, you all need to come up with a plan of attack for the next night. How are you going to help out the servants, get the rest of this stuff out? Or is that the way you're going to do it?
I think the timeline was we were going to help the servants that night, put the message out to meet with Lady Sage the next day, ASAP, and then meet with the Thieves Guild and turn in the servants. I think that was the plan, but I could be wrong.
Busy night. Or busy 24 hours. Yeah, no, that sounds like a solid linear way to achieve our goals.
that definitely will work as a plan for sure. I guess the next question is you have, it probably took like, let's say 2 hours. So it's like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So the sun has gone down completely. You've got a few hours before you are going to go in and help with the servants, because you need to know where the servants are going so that you're able to turn them in. Is there anything in the interim between now and like 2 in the morning that you want to do?
I would like to gather everyone around and pull out my notebook and show the symbol that I copied down that we saw on those crates. See if anyone else recognizes, if it means anything to anyone.
I'm going to be like side-eyeing you as you pull that out, because Mirko really, really has suspicions that something, can't figure out what the connection is, but like there was that portrait where the person had some features that resembled yours, and you were trying your best not to talk out loud to that inner mother brain spirit.
She is lovely, I assure you.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of like be eyeing everybody in the party to like, do you recognize it? What do you recognize in connection to our...
Let's see. I have city secrets. Would that...
That will work. You know from your time in the city, and I'm sure all of you have heard rumors of sorcerers and wizards and how it's bad for the city and it can cause all this damage to the actual fabric of reality and just corrupting. This looks like a magical symbol, but you're not sure what the origin is or what the point is. You would have to seek out someone who might have some levels in sorcery to tell you what the meaning of the symbol is, but it definitely does look magical.
Now, I forgot, was it stamped onto a candle, the symbol?
Yes. Yeah. All the candles had the same symbol stamped onto them.
Mm-hmm. And if I even took like a copy of it, but I'm not really showing anybody the candle I stole.
Okay.
I think, you know, Vyman will listen to all that and kind of nod, and that will let out a bit of a sigh and be like, Mirko, would you like to ask a question?
Moi? No, well, see, no. I have no questions. And like, they'll pat their pant pocket, you know, where it's like not discreetly hidden. No, I'm just curious, like everyone else, about the symbol. It's interesting.
You keep giving me looks.
I say we find out more about this symbol, because if we're getting involved in magic, that's a whole nother thing.
We know the origins, the trade, the people who manufacture it. Because there was a name somewhere, right?
Ijole.
Yeah, Vyman's like Igola.
Ijole.
I do not do these strange pronunciations, you all. Flourish your words too much.
Does anybody else know anything about Ijole?
Well, like I said, it's only 10 o'clock right now, and you're next to Iron Cross, which has a lot of bars and things like that. And Iron Cross is where all the guilds and tradespeople and Triskaidane people, the people who run the actual city, are. Asking about sorcery would maybe give you heat you don't want, but asking about this company, you might be able to get some leads.
Would I have any contacts in the underworld who would know sorcery people?
If you have Thieves Guild, I believe two of you do, you could use that to find somebody who knows sorcery. I would definitely say that.
I'm also owed a favor.
Oh, yeah, that is very true. I forgot who owes you the favor. Was it the librarian?
Seth.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know, would my Inquisitor background have put me in touch with anyone? I also have city secrets, and information is one of my favorite things in life.
Ooh.
That's a pretty compelling argument.
Oh, you have monstrosities as a connection, too, and you have Church of Denari, so... Yeah, you could use either one of those. Now, as an Inquisitioner, you know that once you start bringing up, hey, this is a magical thing, or I need to talk to a sorcerer or whatever, they can kind of turn on a dime and want to do a full investigation, which might mess up the overall plan, but you have a contact there, so you could discreetly reach out and just say, hey, I'm investigating this thing and I need to know more. Where do I go?
Could I spin some bullshit story of like, I found this, because I don't have a candle, I've only got a copy of it. Could I spin some story about, I found this symbol carved into the bottom of a boat. It reads as religious to me. I'm concerned. Like, just throw them completely off the trail?
Yeah, absolutely. I may have you do a sway roll for that. Is that where you all want to go first? Is like, go to the local Denari church and we'll have that interaction?
Yeah, because if we're dealing with magic, that is a whole lot of stuff that we don't want to be touching.
Right, right. That makes sense.
I like this setting. It's so interesting because like magic, ew, but covering the city in statues that represent the dead, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't just represent the dead. They're connected. They are the dead.
Yeah, they're
they're
connected.
They're conduit.
Yeah, but ew, magic. Come on.
Yeah. So yeah, do we want to do that or do you want to go to Thieves Guild? Like, there is an inherent danger with going to the church. So yeah. I leave it up to y'all.
Mirko still owes money at the Thieves Guild. So like, not feeling great about having to go back so soon.
Yeah, they were kind of particularly ready for you to pay something.
So. Yeah. Right, so I think, Vyman.
We just got a bag of coins.
Mirko has other plans.
Spoken like a true gambler.
I can turn this coins into more coins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think Vyman will, you know, hearing its magic kind of... They take a lot of deep, long-suffering breaths, you've come to realize. They're like, I have connections with the Church of Denari. We can perhaps reach out there.
Connections?
Get information on this.
Connections like what? Let's walk and talk.
So you start walking over.
Yes. And just continues walking, giving Mirko this deadpan look. If you have questions, you should ask them.
No. I'm good. Thank you. Merci.
So you get to the local church in Iron Cross, and it's a very... large, posh kind of building, basically being in the center of the hub of the city. It's got to be this big, audacious church. The first thing that hits you, Vyman, when you walk in, is you see several spirits, probably at least 30 or 40, sitting in the pews in different places, just sitting there, hanging out. Now, you're not used to seeing a lot of different ghosts, so this is kind of jarring and maybe worrisome, depending on how you're feeling, but they don't really seem to be taking notice of you or speaking with you. They're just in the church as if that's where they would be at this time if they were alive at a 10 o'clock mass.
Yeah, you all see Vyman's brow just like knit up in a look of confusion as they just start looking over the pews and fidgeting with their cuffs.
Vyman, is it your mama?
No, I don't think she would show herself in the church. And then we'll kind of motion everyone in closer and just say quietly, you should know, as I may have to do this when we go back to the house, I can speak with the spirits. I see them. There are dozens sitting at this church. It is unusual.
Oh, wait. You have always been able to see more than just your own mama, like?
She haunts me, but the rest, yes, I can see and speak to them, yeah.
Wow. My condolences.
Are you kidding? I'd love to talk to ghosts.
Oh, no.
Oh, they might have such stories to tell you.
It could come in so handy.
Most are pleasant.
Yes? I'd use it literally all the time. Are you kidding me? Oh my god, what are they wearing? Can you see their blood? Do you know why they died? Do they look normal? Are any of them sexy?
Oh, Tessa. I mean, that I am interested in, but no, maybe not now.
Multiple slow blinks. I don't know how they died unless I ask them. I don't know your definition of sexy.
Well, I mean, like, do they all have their heads, for example?
Usually.
Oh, okay, so no, like, knives sticking out, no, like, pole arms, like, lodged in the chest.
No, they don't look like they did when they died. They just look like they did when they were living, but their best self, according to their own perception.
Do you not understand that the statues, they connect to the statues, and it is this idealized version, it is not.
So yes, they are probably all sexy.
Probably quite hot, yeah.
mm-hmm.
Can we stop trying to get on with ghosts and get onto the business?
I'm just curious. I'm just curious. I feel like I'm asking the important questions here.
Yeah, Tessa, I was against you at first, but no, I'm very interested now.
These are the important questions?
You're asking about impossible relationships. That's what you're asking about. Let's go on.
A person can dream, all right? Or whatever. Fine. You know, it's fine.
She, like, leans. She just takes out their cane. Like, they use their battle axe almost like a cane and just, like, lean on it and shush with one hand on their hip, just kind of taking in the rest of the conversation. Like, put me where you want me.
All right.
And I just want to just say, like, by this point, Reg has already put on his regular street clothes. He's not in his, you know, his macaroni outfit.
Fancy.
His fancies.
Yeah.
The macaroni outfit.
If I, can I just get close to one of these ghosts and see if they even seem to notice or acknowledge me?
Yeah, if you get close to one, they'll turn to you.
What?
Are you aware of your status?
Yeah, I am.
Just, do you normally attend mass even after passing?
Well, I mean, not all of us, but you get bored. You get used to, like, doing your daily routine, waking up and doing your stuff, and then you're just expected to hang out with a bunch of people you wouldn't hang out with when you were alive. So then you come back here. My statue is near, all these people's statues are nearby. And so we spend some time in the church, or we'll go listen to what's going on in the pub, or whatever. Just kind of mill about.
Okay, there's nothing compelling you.
No, nothing compelling me.
All right, thank you. Enjoys the service?
Thank you.
From behind Vimond, I think it was like Reginald, Tessa, and Mirko just kind of like watching them talk to an empty pew. And Mirko's gonna like nudge you both in the side and just say like, okay, it is so strange. That is what I've worked with. And they are just, they talk to the air and it's not, it was their mama for a while and now it is just spirits and it is bizarre. No,
I've seen worse.
Oh, must tell.
As you're finishing this conversation, it is the first time that you notice, Vimond, that there is a scent of lavender. Now, this is a huge building, and there are lots of candles all over this building. Not all of them are the same candle that you saw in the vault, but there are a few scattered throughout. Like I said, because it's such a big area, it's not as strong as if it was in an enclosed area. Looking around at the spirits, you realize that the candles might be causing the veil between the living and the dead to be thinner.
Yeah. I'm going to look back at Mirko. Do not light that candle. And just start walking forward to try to find my contact.
What, a candle?
Meanwhile, Mirko's like this with a lighter.
Right, it was just ready. Like, merde. Okay.
So, Lord Sage, the scent he was talking to me about was lavender morning or something like that?
Yes, lavender morning. And I believe you made up... Royal Rose was the one you made up.
Yeah. Royal Rose. Gotta roll that R.
Gotta roll it for 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So, Vimond, you make your way up to the priest. The service is done, and there are not a lot of people around at 10 o'clock at night. Those that are there are making their way to the exit. Vimond, how are you going to approach this?
I think as Vimond approaches, they're going to slip one of their found signet rings on.
Okay.
Not House Solri, the other house.
Okay. I forgot, did we give an actual name to the other house or no?
We have not yet, no.
Okay. Let's say House Tomley. All right. So you put on the signet ring and you walk up and he looks at you. He's a younger priest. He's in his mid-30s, obviously being put on the night shift to learn. Most of the priesthood is older, and so the youngins have to do the later shifts. You know, paying your dues and all that junk. He turns to you and says, may I be of assistance?
Hello. Apologize for calling at such a late hour, but I am looking for Philippe.
Oh, well, I do know that he comes to Iron Cross to play cards at one of the local establishments. You could go over to the Golden Tub, which is this inn across the way. Just ask for him there. They'll take you over. It's part of his religious observance of Denari, placing your faith in both coin and luck and worshiping Denari while you try to make a buck.
Thank you. That is very useful. Be careful which candles you use. The lavender ones are bothersome people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you having a reaction to them?
It is something I have simply heard.
Oh.
Thank you. And we'll give a very short little bow, spin on their heel, get far enough away that they don't think the priest will see, and take off the signet ring.
Vimon, as you leave the church, you notice that the spirits are also leaving, and you notice the further away from the church they go, the more they dissipate. You know that your mother can appear near you because you have a strong connection with her, and it seems that these ghosts have a very strong connection to the church, and the fact that the candles are probably making it a little easier for them to cross between the worlds. You head over to the Golden Tub, which is this inn. There are a lot of people there. It's very bright. Everybody is gambling. And the first thing that you notice is that some of the tables have candles being used instead of coin.
Oh no, I'm so ready.
It's not every table, but some tables have candles instead of coins. So what is the plan? I know you're looking for Philippe Vimond. What is Mirko, Tessa, and Reginald going to be doing?
I mean, Mirko is going to slip away as soon as they have the chance to a table that is using candles to gamble, because I have a really good candle to gamble.
I love how Dr. Seuss that sounded.
Right?
Candle to gamble.
I could write a whole book about these candles that I gamble.
I think Vimond looks at Reg and is like, we trust them in this space.
No, not all my life. No, we need to watch them real close.
Do you need me to watch them? I can watch them if you need.
I kind of sneak over and I'm like, Mirko, what you got there?
Oh, it is I found it, you know, it's just a chandelier. It's a candle. It's a candle.
What's the scent?
Like the labels faced away. I'm going to look around the tables. What's a generic scent that I see? I mean, generic, but I'm sure it's still, like, fancy.
Well, what they're using at the table is called rose mist.
Okay, like, I did steal the apple pie, but I'm going to pretend to my allies that it is the rose mist.
Absolutely, I totally get that.
This candle, it's you know, it's just some rose mist. It's, you know, it's just the basics for the candles.
Can I use felonious intent? To detect felonious intent, yeah. Or actually, no, liar's tell is what I would use.
That's the one.
That's the one. Yeah, I'm going to say, because it's an investigation thing, you look at their candle and you're like, rose mist is like this pinkish color, and honey apple is like this yellow-green color. That's not the same scent.
Mirko.
Wait, yes?
You need to listen very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that is not rose mist. I know exactly what it is, and you're going to gamble with the most valuable candle out there.
Do you know what I could win? The amount of denarii?
With your chances of winning? You're a terrible gambler, Mirko. We all know that, Mirko.
But it's
we all know that, fun. Or you'd be paying your dues.
Tessa, you are probably good luck. You look like you are good luck. Do you want to join me and I can...
Don't try and sweet talk her.
Tessa, you know... Have you ever gambled?
Mirko?
It's so much fun.
Give me the candle.
I just don't get
candle.
No. And like they're gonna kind of like look at the candle, look at you, look at the candle, look at you.
Look, you could pickpocket a candle off of one of the other suckers, right? But this one, no, this one's too valuable.
It is honey apple pie. It is so valuable.
I know.
I feel like this is a sway situation.
I think, yeah. I'm having a hard time in my heart. I need to be swayed.
Question, are there any ghosts hanging out in this space?
There are some standing around watching. You do smell different floral notes of candles being used. Probably the ones that they put out on a regular basis that aren't as rare.
Well, because I could always ask a ghost to help me cheat and get Mirko a candle.
Very true.
Tell me what their thoughts are.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be so honored if you would do that. Mirko would like, that's instantly, we're not just work acquaintances anymore. Now we're best friends. If Vymond would do that.
Vymond wouldn't tell you they're doing that. They'd just like go and sit down. Like they'd mutter to something in a corner, go and sit down, like fold twice, and then clean house with the information. And then just stand up, hand a candle, pocket the rest. Like,
because if I... So this might resolve the sway thing. Because like if Reginald and Mirko are just kind of like doing the circular argument while Vymond tiptoes, they don't have to tiptoe. They could just walk away. We're not going to notice.
Yeah, we're not tiptoe. It is the focus clipped Prussian walk of like walk to the corner, convince the spirit, sits down at a table like right near Mirko, like throws down some coins, is just all very serious business.
Oh, I love it.
All right.
And then Reginald and Mirko, like, I don't know if I could give it. I really like the, it's so expensive. And does Vymond hand over the rose mist?
It's kind of like a situation in a casino. You can go to a desk, buy some rose mist candles with coin, and then you can bet, you know.
Yeah, that is what I do without word. I feel like those two are going in circles, and like Tessa just watches Vymond walk away without a word, and is like, like probably the only one who notices.
The entire time this is happening, Tessa's just like trying to look really tough so that no one is like, why is this person just standing around? So very much like arms crossed, looking extra buff and extra strong, extra broad-shouldered. But they're also kind of bouncing back and forth on their feet a little nervously, like while you guys are all talking and arguing. So they're just sort of waiting to be told what to do. They're like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. The parents are fighting. Someone tell me when it's safe.
Because I know that if the rose mist is worth only a few coins, the honey apple pie is worth thousands.
Yeah.
And I can't let them gamble that one.
Yeah.
I can't. We'd be better off selling it.
Yeah.
Should I mark a spirit site for this?
Actually, yeah, because you're using it to gain something.
Yeah. I'm asking for help. I don't mind spending resources to stop this fight. Very tired of this argument.
You walk over to the cashier and buy 10 rose mist candles.
Yeah, there's like a minimum buy-in.
Yeah, so like you buy like 10 for probably 20 coin. And you go over and you sit down. And there's this ghost that's probably just a few feet away. And you motion to them and they walk over.
What do you want?
They kind of bring their cards up to kind of cover their mouth. Make a point of like muttering and doing finger math. So they look like they're very, very bad at this. Just be like, would you be willing to help? I just need one good win. Would you tell me what the other cards are?
Well, sure, but I need something in return. See the big bruiser over there with their arms crossed looking all tough?
Hmm?
Well.
So you like ghosts?
Hmm?
They like spirits.
Well, that's an impossible relationship. I mean, they can't even see me, so that wouldn't work at all. But what I'm saying is, I was a boxer, and I would love to watch this whole room just get torn to shit. It would be a lot of fun. I'll help you out, you get your money, and then you guys start a fight of some sort in here so that we can have something to watch. This is boring.
Sure, if you can make that happen.
All right. Go ahead. I'll tell you what they've got.
nods gratefully, like saying as few words as possible, like even less than usual, because don't want to get caught cheating at the table.
How many hands are you going to do this for?
Basically, Vimond is going to just have no problem folding as soon as it's very clear they're not going to win. Like, so probably folds for two or three hands. It's just like very quickly out, out, out. And then as soon as they are sure they're going to win, they go all in.
Okay.
And like do the kind of newbie, pretending to be a newbie thing. You know, it's like, oh, I do not, I'm still learning the system. And then finally they get to the hand and they're like, two matching is good, yeah? And push all their candles to the middle.
Okay, cool. So you do that and you win a really big hand. I would like you to give me a sway roll to see if you're as convincing a non-cheater as you would like to be, because I think that would be fair.
Okay. I am going to drop two into this.
And you can still hear Mirko and Reginald in the background.
Yeah, they are still going.
Yeah, they're like, blah, 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 blah.
It smells so good, I cannot let it go.
You have to. It's like you're coming to the table with 10,000 coin.
Uh-huh.
And you're gambling again. You're going to win pennies.
I mean, how cool would I look?
But it's, you would win pennies, but you might lose thousands.
Okay, my reputation, it's skyrockets. Mirko would be the best. I mean, Mirko loses,
who gives a shit about your reputation here? You're not coming back.
I have been here before. He looks around and like winks at like one person.
It is a gambling house. All right, Vimond.
I put in two, and that was a six on the dice.
Okay, so you're convincing enough.
I'm very foreign.
You're able to win 18 candles, so add it up, and you've got about 28 altogether, and you do well for yourself. The table's disappointed that you're leaving because they'd like to win their candles back. You can still see that Mirko is trying desperately to hold on to the honey apple pie and maybe gamble with it.
Yes, this is not about some money.
Right, and the ghost as you're leaving.
Remember, you owe me a fight.
Give them a thumbs up. I will keep the 10 candles that I put in and just walk up to Mirko and just push the other 18 into their hands. You can stop this argument now. You have to start a fight before you leave. And then I'm going to go and cash out my 10 candles.
Merci. Wow, yes. Wow.
Mirko.
Uh-huh.
Can I hold on to the honey apple just to keep it safe?
Promise you won't. You will not gamble it.
I promise on my life.
Deal. And Mirko will pass it over. Just like enamored by all these new candle scents.
Okay, cool. Tessa, you've been standing there for a while now. It's been like 30 to 45 minutes for all of this to transpire. And you are looking around the room and you're noticing that there are a lot of Marcanti in this room, a lot of merchants. And you also notice that there are a lot of City Watch people who aren't working. I'm going to say that there are probably a couple people in here that you recognize. How different from those days do you look? Have you changed up your look at all, or would they recognize you right off the bat?
So because of my height and my build, I feel like I'm pretty easy to clock. But the old Tessa used to wear their hair in a very kind of plain stoic bun, kind of at the back of their head, very sort of straight face sort of situation, very similar to the guards like outside Buckingham Palace who don't react, right? Who can't do any, they tend to be expressionless. Like they took their job really seriously. Like Tessa took their job very seriously. And that was kind of the overall affectation that they would give, was just like, this is business, I'm at work kind of thing. However, now they have more of kind of a bewildered, bemused expression on their face. She wears her hair kind of out and loose around their shoulders in a very kind of romantic fuckboy energy sort of thing, very free. They have very different clothing. Obviously, they're not in their garb that they used to be in, but they still have kind of this very sort of marriage of a masculine kind of like leather holster and accessory type thing over their cloth breeches, and they bind their breasts to make it easier so that they can just like get in there with their weaponry. You see like a hint of that peeking out from underneath their kind of loose blouse. They definitely look more rakish than they did when they were in the City Watch. And I think they spy someone that was there the day that Tabby got caught sneaking out of a place and probably would have been the person that reported them. They haven't said anything about it, but she is keeping the people, like the whole table of those watch people and the person that she thinks was the rat, like just in her peripheral vision. She takes this job very seriously, which is why she has not mentioned this to you, but they definitely have noticed that the watch is here.
And I guess that's my next question is, with the turn-in of your sister and all that, we will say that Tabitha basically was trying to steal from a jewelry store and got caught, or at least saw and turned in because they knew that it was your sister. I'm going to say that they notice you too, but that they are, you can tell they're keeping an eye on you, but they're acting as if they don't notice you as much, or that you're not a concern, but you can feel that you're a concern.
Yeah, I think Tessa just sort of continues to keep an eye on their crew, whatever side of them that they're on, right? Whatever side of them that that table is on, like if they're to the left, there's like a whole lot of heat. I think Vimond especially would pick up on that, that the left side of Tessa's body is very hot, like a porcupine with all the prickles up kind of way.
Right. Ready to move at a moment's notice.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. So yeah, you clock the guy that you feel is a rat, and you used to work this district, obviously, because this is where a lot of the money is. And so you're not surprised to see watch there, but you had to take a fall for something that you didn't do and your sister didn't help. You know, there is that tense kind of feeling, like you said. Let us jump over to Philippe real quick. And so all of you make your way after being there for a couple of hours and doing the gambling thing. You finally make it to Philippe. And Philippe recognizes you right away, Vimond. Says, child, why are you back in Eversink? I thought you had left a long time ago.
And told not to return, but here, I need your help, discreetly.
Of course, I'll help you. How is your mother?
Dead.
Oh, I'm sorry, child. That's terrible. What can I do for you?
And Vimond will, again, kind of guide Philippe to a corner where it's going to be more difficult for people to eavesdrop. We'll glance, like, Vimond doesn't care if Mirko goes and gambles the rest of those candles away, like, whatever is going on there.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's what Mirko is doing.
Yeah, if there's nothing else, like, that they're needed for, gone. Found their table, you know, they've made their mark. They're like, you, taking all your money.
Okay, cool. We will handle that in a moment after we handle this. Go ahead, Vimond.
Is Reg babysitting? What's everyone doing? Just so I know where everyone is at this point.
Tessa is just kind of waiting for an assignment. They're lingering back by the front door. They feel like they don't physically belong in this space. They feel like they stick out like a sore thumb. So they're kind of positioned in a way that nobody would really look at them because, oh, that's all, it's easily a bouncer, right? Just write them off as part of the scenery, right? Part of the security of the place. So they're just trying to lay low until someone needs them to jump in, you know? Once someone needs them to jump in, they're there. They're like, hey. But before that, they're just kind of like biding their time. Every so often, they do like a very subtle like glance over to the left and then back again, looking around, keeping an eye, trying to notice if there's anybody else that might be doing something, some tomfoolery.
Awesome. Reginald, what are you doing?
Making sure that the honey apple candle is safe. Like I probably have, I don't know, some sort of container like in one of my coat pockets or just something that's, it's not going to break in even if things get rough or weird or whatever. And then I'm just keeping an eye on Mirko because, you know, they tend to get into some scrapes.
Well, we're counting on that.
So Vimond will glance to Tessa because they would kind of like to have a buffer, but if they want to stay being bouncer, they can, but Vimond will kind of get that look like, do you want to come be a wall? But it's up to Tessa.
Yeah, the second you glance over, Tessa's by your side. Yeah.
What do you need?
Can you just make sure they're not listened to?
Oh, yeah, of course. Can you tune me out? Because I'm just going to probably prattle on about something that doesn't matter.
I'm very good at tuning you out. No expression change.
Oh, great. Okay. Wait a minute. I'll circle back to that another time.
All right. So, Tess is a few feet away, prattling on, and you and Philippe are talking. He goes, what can I do for you?
I found this marking on the bottom of a rowboat. It strikes me as magical, but I do not know what it is, and I have concerns. Turn over the piece of paper, subtly.
He kind of looks at it for a second, and he goes, you found it on the bottom of a rowboat?
Yeah, I don't know what it could be for, but I am worried.
How do I put this? I think you found it on a candle.
Why would you think that?
He pulls out one of his candles, and he goes, because they all have the same symbol on it.
Ah, so they do.
The church is aware of the symbol. They are oddly quiet on its magical uses. There is a sense that the magic is so weak that it can't really hurt Denari. It is a strange stance for the church to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why they're taking it. But some of us with the sight have noticed that in areas where the candles have been burning...
More ghosts appear.
More ghosts appear, yes. So it seems to be causing some sort of weakness between the worlds. But right now, for some reason, the church seems to be turning a blind eye.
That is troubling. Thank you.
I will say that my guess is that as they've become more popular, less are being used. And so the thought is, as long as they're not being burned, the magic is staying within the candle.
Mm-hmm.
And the candle represents scent. I think it's how they're able to infuse the candles with the different scents. Can I ask a favor of you, though?
It depends on the favor.
Well, if you get any information as you're going along that you can relay to me about why the church would so easily overlook such a threat, I would appreciate it.
I have my theories, but once I have something concrete, I will be glad to.
Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you. Things might get messy here soon. You may wish to depart early. A very bright smile.
Did one of the ghosts try to get you to cause a fight?
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been doing that for, like, weeks now.
Mm.
All right, I'll leave. I don't want to be around for that. Good luck. Gets up, grabs his candlesticks, goes, cashes out.
Gula, walk up to Tessa, kind of pat their arm to let them know they can stop monologuing.
That was very good. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. I still want to talk about what you said.
If you wish. You have problems?
It doesn't have to be here. I understand there's lots of people around, but also, you know, I think that perhaps... If we're going to be friends, you should learn how to listen to me, even when I say things that might not be quite as fancy and up to snuff as all of what you've got going on.
I do not care about fancy, but sometimes I require focus, but I enjoy your presence.
Oh, well, that just takes all the steam out of my engine, doesn't it? All right. All right. Yes. Well, no. Wyman, it's a pleasure knowing you, mate.
And you see, like, little tears crop up in the corner of their eyes, and they just bring you in for a gigantic bear hug. Like, it's crushing. It's like your entire body is just, like, smooshed.
And, like, Vyman is long and wiry, so there's just not that much there. Like, they're probably lifted off the ground without any thought. It's, oh, yes, so good, so good. And pats the arm again as best they can.
Yeah, they put you down, they, like, straighten your clothes out and smooth everything out, readjust any hat or glasses or anything that you're wearing that might have been dislodged, and then they step back and kind of, like, wipe at their eye.
You know, friendship, this is what I'm saying. I wish Mirko could understand. Friendship is, it's important, you know.
You hear from a table obnoxious cheering. Hey! Woo! Winning lots of money, maybe, or losing, hard to tell.
Mirko... You're trying to win. Are you being extra obnoxious to get one of the other players to start some shit, or are you just playing and being yourself?
Let me look at my character sheet again.
Do we know about having to start the brawl?
When I handed over the candles, I said to Mirko, I'm like, you need to start a fight. And then walked away with no further explanation.
Yeah, they did do that. Yeah, so Mirko knows about it. Whether or not they act on it, that's the question.
Okay, no. So, yeah, they're going to be obnoxious, insulting everybody, just making them feel bad about the coin that they own. Just like, yeah, all the petty insults. Like, I bet your mom, I don't know, like, what fantasy your mom jokes would be. But those.
Where's combat boots? I don't know.
Something.
I bet your mom loves fantasizing about Denari's dirty feet when she's with a lover. I bet your mom sells herself for like 13 gold every night out there on the corner. I bet your mom swims nude under the light of a full moon in full view of every priest in town.
Wow.
Damn.
Spicy.
You know.
All right, so you're doing all this. Here's the way that I would like to handle this huge-ass thing that's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would like Mirko to make a sway attack, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know the moral threshold is usually about, like, you know, an average, like about a 4. Now, if you do a critical hit is when you do 5 points above whatever that threshold is. If you're rolling a six-sided die and you roll a 6 and you spend 5 points, that gives you 7 points over what you had to, and that's a critical hit and extra cool stuff happens. You can also spend investigation points to add even more damage onto your withering attack.
I would like to do that in addition. Like, so, like, my motivation, like, Mirko's motivation for chaos is to pickpocket a lot of people. It's the best time. You just kind of, you know, duck under tables and just dip your hand into everybody's pocket. So, what would be...
I have to ask, would Reg be helping with this or trying to stop this?
Well, I think Reg might be the only one who's in the dark about that we have to start a brawl.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, Reg has no idea.
Yeah, that's...
I don't think Reg would try to stop it, but I definitely think Reg would be doing what Mirko's talking about doing and taking advantage of the situation. That if a fight starts, Reg is a lover, not a fighter. He's just going to pick some pockets, get some valuables out of the deal.
Well, and also there's the desk with all of the candles and coin that they're going back and forth with, so...
I feel like that's the first thing that has to get shut down. You know, like they pull like a prison gate.
Yeah, exactly. Skullduggery would be my opinion, would be the best. You can spend 1 or 2 points. And for each point you spend, you do an extra D6 plus 1 of sway damage.
Okay. I'm like, I don't know how to calculate that. So yeah, I will spend 1 point of skullduggery. Let's, for funsies, you said the number 5. I have 5 sway right here. Let's just bring that down to a nice 0. And let's go.
All right. What'd you roll?
I rolled a 6. 6 plus 5.
Nice.
Plus whatever skullduggery does.
Roll that D6 twice and add a plus 2 to it.
That is going to be a 6 and a 3 plus 2.
So 9 and then plus 2, so 11.
11.
So you do 11 points, and because you did 5 points over, it's a critical hit. Explain to me how you royally piss this person off and make them flip the table.
It's the your mother jokes.
Just your mother jokes one after another?
Yeah. They're like, they're tasteless, they're poorly executed, but they're still like this like scattered laughter. And the person that like they're being directed to already has a short fuse, you know, not very good at managing their own temper. And these are weighted tables because like you really want to discourage the patrons from flipping them over. But this person just has like the strength of all of their rage because they love their mother and like, how dare you insult them? And yeah. Table goes flying, the stuff at the table goes everywhere, it hits people, and then all Mirko has to do in response is pick up a table, swing it, and shout, Tavern Fight!
This all happens, and for Reginald and Vyman and Tessa, it's almost like you see this whirlpool kind of happen, where everybody starts to argue and throw punches, and it started, the catalyst was definitely at Mirko's table. And there are people throwing fists and yelling, and I think this is a good place for us to stop this particular episode. So thank you all so much for playing. Thank you all so much for listening. Let us find out where these wonderful people are. Let's start with Kay.
Hey, well, I am Kay Purcell, she, they pronouns. You can find me across the internet at KayDamphyr. That's KayDamphyr. You can also find me at Cataclysm Presents, where we do all sorts of TTRPG things, actual plays, and the Table Talk Show. You can also find me at the Emergency Power Podcast for our biweekly Starfinder podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm Candace, also known as Candace Magnificent. You can find me over at Twitter and Blue Sky, which I'm not really on Blue Sky, but I'm at Blue Sky, at the Candace Marie. And then you can also find me everywhere else as Candace Magnificent. I'm a variety streamer and musician and voice actor and performer. If you want to keep up with what I'm doing, check my socials. You can also see me on places like 12 Sided Stories, other podcasts, as well as Chaotic Wholesome, Bloom and Blight, and Matihi's channel every other Saturday.
Hello, hello. I've been BZelda. You can find me on all social media as BZelda _. I'm a tabletop performer, writer, streamer, and I think most recently you can probably check out, they are called Six Sides of Gaming on YouTube, where I'm joined by some wonderful humans like Damien Haas, and we play D&D, but we make it anime.
Hey, I'm Michelle. You can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I'm Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on all the different socials. You can find the show at 12 Sided Stories, the number 12, then Sided Stories on all the different socials as well. You can find us also on our website, which is 12sidedstories.com, all spelled out, all one word. Join us on Discord. Come over and talk about tabletop RPGs. Say hello. If you want to help out the podcast, become a Patreon member, give us a shout out, or give us a review on your favorite platform. Any of those things are very helpful. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time for this season's final episode of The Candlestick Crimes. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.